The internet has opened up new avenues to being famous. You don't need to be, for example, a Hollywood star for people to know who you are. And being famous on the internet can get you attention in other areas like TV deals, record deals, brand partnerships, and other potential big money gigs. But just like other kinds of fame, it's not always clear what the road to success is. Our next guest helps us understand the modern internet celebrity. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you or someone you know aspire to be internet famous in some way? Are you a regular viewer or follower of big-time influencers or TikTok stars? Do you have a generation gap in your household where some people, maybe the younger ones, know about this category of famous person and they are, quote, alien to you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Kate Eichhorn is chair and associate professor of culture and media at the New School in New York. She's the author of several books on this field, including her latest, The End of Forgetting, Growing Up with Social Media. Kate, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for the invitation.
Well, internet celebrity seems like kind of a unique kind of celebrity in that, you know, if somebody's like a young famous movie star, I might not know who they are, but I'll see their pictures on magazines in the grocery store or whatever. With internet, with a TikTok star, say they might be intensely famous with one group and completely anonymous to another. What do you make of that sort of maybe generation gap or technology gap in celebrity?
Yeah, it's really quite unique to our time. There are stories of parents who find out that their kids have, you know, 200, 300, half a million followers on a digital platform, and they had no idea that their 13 or 14-year-old had actually generated this sort of following. Sometimes they find out when managers call them up and let them know and want to start working with their kids in a sponsorship fashion. So that is really quite unique. And it's not all negative. I mean, for many, you know, basically, until this point in history, children and adolescents had very few opportunities to record their lives and share images of their lives widely. And so there's some very positive things that have come out of this. And then there's also a lot of really disturbing things that we can talk about if you want to go down that path.
Yeah, we can get into that in a minute. I want to take a tour, though, if you will, of some of the platforms that we're talking about the most. Where do these celebrities emerge on the internet?
It's changed. If you were talking to me 5 or 6 years ago, we might have been talking about Vine, and now people are like, what is Vine? Now we have TikTok. Obviously, Instagram is probably the most important platform, I'd say, right now, TikTok and Instagram. But it's important to remember that digital platforms come and go. Some of them stick around for a long time, but, if we go back to, over a decade, people would have been talking about things like MySpace. So influencer culture seems to pivot around fairly fleeting digital platforms, would be my observation.
Is there a proven road for people looking to become celebrities? Because to me, it looks random. I mean, one, I understand, came about because people liked a video of her nodding her head along to music. Right. It could be just about anything. Lightning can strike anywhere in some ways.
Yeah, I wish I had an answer to that question. If I did, I could turn myself into an influencer and quit my day job as a university professor and just make money on TikTok. I don't know what it is. I think that I think you're right to point out that it can be quite random. In a way, though, historically, we've always had a certain small group of celebrities who just become famous for doing something that stands out in the moment, right? You can think about someone who, went over a barrel at Niagara Falls. They would fall into that category. There is, however, another category of influencer who is intentionally trying to become that digital celebrity and puts a lot of effort into it and cultivates a following and, turns it into a career, at least briefly.
And when we're talking about internet influencer culture and the internet celebrities, is it fair to say we're talking about youth culture too? It seems like there's a pretty big generation gap here.
I think in North America, the vast majority of internet celebrities and influencers are young. But it's interesting. I don't, you know, I'm not an expert on this, but I've read a lot of articles recently about, you know, in China, in Korea, there are a lot of older women, including, you know, retired age women who are influencers and digital celebrities. So I think it depends a bit on the culture. But certainly in North America, it's a very child and youth oriented activity. So we have parents who are putting their young children online without their permission because they're so young and turning them into celebrities. And then there are many adolescents and people in their early 20s who do this as a kind of full-time gig.
We're talking to Kate Eichhorn from the New School in New York. She's a social media expert. We're looking at the rise of internet fame and how people can become influencers and celebrities on venues like TikTok and Instagram. You could join in with your thoughts, your experiences, your questions at 800-642-1234. Do you yourself follow any famous people who are famous because of what they've done on TikTok, say, or Instagram? If you're a parent, do you see your kids following such celebrities? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kate, you mentioned a potential downside, dark side of the quest for internet fame. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's important to remember that these platforms are free and, you know, they need content. So who has the time and the sort of energy to produce all this free content for these tech companies? Well, young people do. So a lot of exploitation that goes on as well, particularly, you know, I'd say one of the dominant demographics, if you look at influencer culture, are adolescent girls. And I think that there's a lot of exploitation that happens. It starts with somebody saying, you know, we like your content, we'll give you some free clothes or, you know, a free pair of shoes or some other product if you wear them in your next video. But unlike if we think about child actors, we have a lot of laws that govern, you know, when children can work, how many hours a week they can be on set, who handles their money. When you talk about influencer culture, it's very murky. There are very few regulations at all that protect children and adolescents who end up in that world. So that to me is something that one always has to be thinking about, particularly if they're watching these videos online, you know, who's benefiting really.
I know another concern you have for non-celebrities and celebrities alike is how much of their identity they put online, how much identity teens say put online when they're young and how much that sticks with them in later years. Do you have thoughts on that when it comes to, say, that adolescent who is seeking internet fame?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, particularly, you know, if you're 13 or 15, 17, and you decide that you're going to produce this content yourself and put it online, I think that's one thing. But we also have a lot of online celebrities are babies, children, kids who are, you know, still in elementary school. And in that case, their parents have driven this celebrity. They have not given permission or instigated it themselves. So one of my questions is, you know, when those kids grow up, how will they feel about the fact that their entire childhood was documented and widely circulated? And a lot of those images and videos are things that they'll never be able to take back. So as adults, they're going to have to live with this huge repository of everything they did and said when they were growing up. So Rob, like, can you imagine thinking back to your childhood if there were, you know, thousands of photographs, videos of you just, you know, being a kid? Would you want that out there?
I would not. Speaking for myself, I would absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah. So that to me is, it's an interesting question. Will in another 10 years, 15 years, will we see these kids actually taking legal action against their parents? I think it's highly, highly possible.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Madison. John, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I I formulated my thoughts before hearing that final segment. So I was wondering what other differences might there be between modern celebrities and previous ones? Because where I was coming from is this seems a lot like previous celebrities. You know, you have one-hit wonders, you have people that have a very small but devoted fan base, and you have people that have wide appreciation. You have, I mean, the people that I was, you know, interested in, like the Vlogbrothers channel, they're older than I am right now, and there are celebrities that they are like, I'm sorry, I've never heard of them before. So it's kind of like the Simpsons meme, you know, what's it'll happen to you too. The new celebrities now will one day be older celebrities.
Gotcha. John, thanks a lot for the call. John, not seeing that much, you know, it's a different medium, but maybe not that different a phenomenon than the old celebrity. Kate, what do you think?
I think that on the one hand, you know, there are lots of parallels. But I would say that the thing that is mostly different, although we did, you know, at the beginning, I talked about, you know, someone going over Niagara Falls in a barrel. Okay. That would have been quite rare though, that someone would have become a celebrity just for doing something very kind of unusual, once. In our current culture, there's a sense that anybody can become a celebrity. You can just be sitting in your bedroom and make a very memorable video and post it and it can go viral. So the possibility of becoming a celebrity is greater now than it was in the past. And then also, I think the whole economic structure driving contemporary influencer structure, influencer culture is also really different. So those are the two differences. But I would agree with John, as someone who's really interested in history, that I don't think we should overdetermine the differences that mark the digital era.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Kate Eichhorn, Chair and Associate Professor of Culture and Media at the New School in New York. We're talking about internet fame and youth culture. She's the author of several books in the field, including her latest, The End of Forgetting, Growing Up with Social Media. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of internet celebrities? Do you think of internet celebrities? Are there people you follow on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, say, who have millions of followers? Why do you follow them? Are you seeking to become internet famous in your own right? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with Kate Eichhorn, Chair and Associate Professor of Culture and Media at the New School in New York, author of the book The End of Forgetting, Growing Up with Social Media. We are talking about internet fame, how celebrities rise seemingly out of nowhere on platforms like TikTok or Instagram, maybe YouTube, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you influenced by a particular influencer on those or other platforms? Do you want to be one yourself? Do you have questions about how all of this works? Do you worry that kids are seeking fame online and what they might encounter along the way? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Kate, just a few moments ago, you mentioned the economics of influencers and celebrities on these platforms. How does that work?
Well, I think that there are a variety of different ways in which people are able to monetize their content online. So if you're on YouTube, it's clicks and views. You're getting money, a very small portion. So you're basically sharing a lot of your profit with the tech platforms. And then there's also sponsorships. So it might start with sponsorships and a sponsorship that's just about, you know, giving you products that you then, you know, use or talk about in your videos. And then that can eventually turn into larger sponsorships where you're brought into, for example, a content house. I don't think you have content houses in the Midwest, but in places like Los Angeles, there are very successful TikTokers, and Instagram influencers who actually just all live in the same house and they just produce content all day. But when you read the tales of these young people who end up working in content houses, what happens is they end up burning out really quickly and feeling this incredible stress to come up with original content basically 24/7. So they go from, you know, having the liberation of basically making, you know, running their own business and doing something really fun, but it sort of seems to quickly evolve into something that is disturbing and difficult and incredibly stressful and, you know, where they're not really owning their life anymore.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Marie is with us in Green Bay. Marie, hello.
Hi there. I am, comment about TikTok. I'm newer to the platform. I don't have any content. I don't have any interest in any content, but I do enjoy it. And I'll give you an example. I like the gardening videos, even though I've been gardening for 40 years, but I still feel like I can learn something new. There's information about animals, and there is some politics, which I do listen to. But again, I'm more interested in in animal nature, fauna and flora. So I think it's a great platform because it's quick and to the point, as opposed to Facebook where you have to read and read and read. I'm not opposed to reading, but again, it gives me, do I want to know about this? Do I not want to know about this? So I think it's a great platform.
Marie, thanks a lot for the call. Kate, can you talk about how TikTok will serve itself up to someone like Marie, who's clearly given it cues that she likes gardening and animal videos, for example?
No, it is true that for, you know, when we think about TikTok, we tend to think about, you know, a very particular kind of influencer culture. But there are people on TikTok who are, you know, doing how-to videos. There's a lot of crafting that happens on TikTok. And then it's also used as an activist platform as well. And that's also really interesting. So, you know, it will be interesting to see too, how that platform evolves. Will it just reach, you know, a limit like Vine and other platforms and disappear, or will it keep evolving like Instagram or Facebook? And that's yet to be seen.
Marie, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Kate, with teens putting a lot of their lives on social media, whether they want to be celebrities or not, I know there's concern that, you know, they may be too outwardly image focused and live trying to shape their lives in a way that's appealing online. I know teens being self-conscious about their appearance and how they come off of the world is not a new thing. Is this a worry you have?
You know, to come back to what I said at the beginning of our time, Rob, I think that on the one hand, it's incredibly exciting that for the first time in history, not only can teens take images of themselves, record their lives, but they can also broadcast those images to a few friends or to millions of people. It gives them a voice that they didn't have in the 20th century or even in the early 21st century. And that's something that, you know, we should be celebrating. On the other hand, the fact that they're putting all of that content out there and can't necessarily take it back or delete it is a bit disturbing to me, because things that you might feel okay about when you're 16 or 15 or 18 might be things that you don't want in circulation 10 years later or 20 years later. So that's my concern. Is the fact that one risks getting stuck in the past.
Kate, as you mentioned earlier, you've selected a field of study that is a moving target. It's constantly changing as platforms rise and evolve. What to you right now is the most interesting open question that we're still figuring out about social media and influencer culture?
I would say two things. One, to follow up on what I was just saying, I think that we really need to think about the right to be forgotten, how to use those platforms in a way where we can have a bit more control over the content that we're producing. And this holds true for children and adolescents and for adults. I also think that, you know, something I've been thinking about recently is we talk about influencers, but I wonder, you know, in the past, influence and power tended to be connected. And I think in our current culture, having influence doesn't necessarily mean you have more power in the world. So I do worry a bit about the kinds of the different ways in which young influencers are not powerless, but perhaps vulnerable or at risk. So those are two kind of worries I have. But it's not to say that I think all these platforms are necessarily inherently problematic. Absolutely not.
Kate, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for your time, Rob.
Kate Eichhorn is chair and associate professor of culture and media at the New School in New York. She's the author of several books in the field, including her latest, The End of Forgetting, Growing Up with Social Media. She joined us for a look at what it means to be internet famous.